Joining us right now, Richard Roper, brought to you by Architect of Chicagoland. He's a very famous reviewer. You know, he is the chief medical officer. No, I'm sorry. Those are the doctors that we have on all the time. You are the chief film. What is your title again for sometimes?
I'm America's streaming and theatrical and VOD and Quibi and every other possible medium critic. It's a long business card.
Yes, I've tried to figure out what all of this means now. And don't forget, Richard Roper, brought to you by Architect of Chicagoland. Okay, let's start with the big release, which would have been a big children's release for the weekend in the theaters, but obviously COVID-19 has canceled that. So now it's coming immediately to, if you pay me enough money, it'll show up on your TV, Scoob.
Yes, that's right. It's Scoob with an exclamation point. So it looks like Scooby, and it is a Scooby-Doo movie, Ro, and you're absolutely right. This is from Warner Brothers Animation. It is a full-length original feature film about the characters who debuted way back in 1969 as a children's Saturday morning cartoon, right? The crime-fighting teenagers, and then, of course, the big, goofy Great Dane named Scooby-Doo. So this is an original movie. It was going to be in theaters. Now it's going to be on demand. And yeah, you have a 48-hour window to rent it, or you can buy it for your home.
Join me, Scooby-Doo, and I will show you how to harness your destiny and become the most important dog in the world.
No thanks, Dastardly.
Please. My friends call me Dick.
Okay. Rick?
No, I'm not a Rick. I'm a Dick with a D.
Rick with a D.
Da-da-da, Dick.
Rick.
And Roy, I do like what they're doing in terms of promoting this movie. Warner Brothers is having this whole Twitter premiere party Friday night where a lot of the voice stars that are in the movie, Mark Wahlberg, Michelle Rodriguez is in it, Amanda Seyfried, they're all going to be like kind of on the virtual red carpet talking to people on Twitter. And then the website has all these cool games and puzzles and mazes, and you can even print out stuff and make little Scooby cars and vans and stuff. Here's the one drawback to all of this. The movie is terrible.
Well, what does that count? If kids are going to be able to play with it, I mean, it's like getting the box at home. I think, isn't that the point of this?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, the point also is, you know, I know a lot of parents are looking forward to anything that's fresh and original that they can add to the home viewing library for younger kids. But one of the problems with this movie, Ro, is that it tries to, you know, navigate that line between being a hipster animated film with all kinds of pop culture references and then a children's film. And I think it should have decided to be one or the other. So there's all these, you know, these references. There's, you know, they reference Netflix and they talk about Lord of the Rings. And then someone goes, ooh, careful about copyright infringement if we talk about Lord of the Rings. And then, worst of all, picture this, an animated Simon Cowell, complete with the unbuttoned shirt and the cartoon chest hair, is in this movie. It's so wrong. It's so weird.
Oh, that is wrong on every level. And he agreed to it. Okay, I want to go back to how they're going to release this thing, because I think parents will sit in front of the TV with the kids for almost anything at this moment just to make sure that the kids are doing something new. This whole idea of now straight to home distribution, right, is going to take off. I mean, we're not really going back, I don't think, to as many movie theaters as we used to. I think this is going to change how we consume. People have bigger TVs, and let's face it, kids watch everything on either tablets or laptops. So they're not even really interested in the big screen presentation as much as we were, correct, when we grew up with, you know, big 70mm and Dolby and all the rest of that stuff.
No, that's absolutely true. And the deal with this is, and people, you can just type it in because it's an on-demand thing. For the 48-hour rental, it's $19.99, or to own it, it's $24.99. And, at first you go, geez, $20 for a Scooby movie. But that's far less than a family of four would pay if they went to the theater to see this. And I think a lot of families, they'll opt for the digital ownership, because then you can play it as many times as you want for only $5 more. I don't think that's an unreasonable price point. I think some people probably in the studio hallways, they're not glad for the pandemic, but they're welcoming an opportunity to try this out and see how it does, Ro. And, you know, there's already been talk about the big, big movies when they come out. I'm talking about, you know, the A-list Oscar-level films by Scorsese, the big Avengers movies, about making those films available for something closer to $100.
Ooh.
And again, that seems like a lot of money, but if you've got a home theater and you have five or six friends over and you make a viewing party out of it, everybody chips in $20. I think that is going to be the wave of the future. That all being said, I still love the idea of people going to the movies. And then, you know, I've been to a lot of these screenings for children's movies, and it's so much fun to hear little kids laughing because they'll pretty much laugh at anything. They're just happy to be out and get all hopped up on Twizzlers and popcorn and watch something funny.
Okay, I want to talk more about the economics of this because this is the part that fascinates. Mm. There is an opportunity for the movie industry to totally make a complete shift 100 years later, right? I mean, the movie industry was at its peak in the silent era 100 years ago, and then talkies came out 90 years ago, and now this is the new way of distributing things. Will that actually pay for big money productions? We'll come right back.
Richard Roper is with us.
Scoob has just dropped. I never thought I would ever say those words. It's a new Scooby-Doo animated film, and it is coming directly to your TV or your laptop or whatever, but you're gonna have to pay a premium for it. It's supposed to be in the theaters, but obviously it can't be in the theaters, and it's a big springtime into summer animated blockbuster from Warner Brothers. They were hoping that this thing was going to be a Disney-esque sort of franchise for them. You say the movie is not that good. How many stars are you giving it?
Yeah, here's my quote for all the ads. It's a number two for Scooby-Doo. I'm giving it 2 stars.
That's what you say to a dog, too. Do number two. Do exactly. Number two. Okay, let's go back for the adults now. Tom Hardy in Capone. What's that all about?
Well, if you allowed the kids to see Capone right after Scoob, DCFS should come and take your kids away from you, because this is actually a very toxic movie about a very toxic person. Tom Hardy's a great actor. This is about the last years of Al Capone's life. After he was out of prison, he went down to this big mansion in Florida and kind of lived in exile. He had the effects of syphilis, dementia. So this whole movie is about Al Capone falling apart mentally and physically. And first of all, how many movies do we need about Al Capone? I mean, everybody from Paul Muni to Rod Steiger to Jason Robards to F. Murray Abraham to Robert De Niro, they've all played Capone, okay? Now we're getting Capone falling apart, and this movie features not one, not two, but three scenes of this guy losing control of bodily functions in public scenarios. I'm like, why are we watching this? And all these kind of paranoid rants, these delusions he has. And Tom Hardy, of course, he disappears into the character. He, you know, Capone was only in his late 40s. He looked like he was 107. Got the scar face. He's got all the effects of the physical ailments. I just don't see the point of this movie. It's a really ugly movie about an ugly guy.
And where are people finding this?
That's another on demand. So in other words, you know, that's not attached to one of the streaming services. You just punch it in and the company, and there's your chance to rent it. It's called Capone. It was going to be a theatrical release. I actually would, and I still will have it on my list of one of the worst movies of the year.
Ooh, wow. Well, when you make it to that list this early in the year, although yeah, we're almost halfway through, but you know what I mean? I mean, it's like, it's generally, it's the summer when you start piling those things up.
I mean, picture a diaper-wearing Capone wielding a gold-plated Tommy gun and going on a shooting spree, and that's pretty much what this movie's about. It was actually tougher to watch this at home than in a theatrical setting, because if I go to a screening, at least I'm in the theater with my fellow critics, usually an audience. It's on the big screen. When I'm watching at home, I kept reaching for the mouse to close out the screener, but I can't. I got to watch it for you guys. So it was like a tough sledding for this one.
How much is it if people want to rent it?
I honestly don't know. A lot of the times when they send me this, they don't give me, you know, I don't get the whole price point and all that stuff. Right. I'm just looking to review it, you know.
Okay, so good. All right. Well, it depends on the services you're getting it from anyway, because they all do it in different ways. But
yeah.
Okay. So you're saying take a pass. You don't necessarily need to see Capone pooping in his pants.
No, I'm saying please don't see it. 1.5 stars, one of the worst movies of the year, one of the worst movies about one of the worst people in Chicago history. And I'm sick of seeing movies about Al Capone. How about a movie about Ida B. Wells? How about a limited miniseries about the Daley Dynasty? There's so many other greater stories out there to be told about Chicago.
That's true. But you give it 1.5 stars because Tom Hardy is in it. Is that why? Because he's so good?
Mainly for the strength of his performance. If not, it could have been close to a 0-star movie without one of the best actors in the world. I mean, he's Brando level. So, you know, watching him, but he can't, not even Tom Hardy can save this sinking ship.
Okay, let's talk about something that you actually like. Bong Joon-ho, that's the guy who brought us Parasite. He's got a series coming out on TNT.
Yeah, he's the executive producer of this series called Snowpiercer, which is also based on the movie Snowpiercer that he directed about 5 years ago. But it's the same story, but in a different part of the timeline. So here's the deal with Snowpiercer. The efforts to reverse global warming go horribly wrong, and now the Earth is a giant frozen snowball that is so cold, if you step outside, you will instantly die. So Snowpiercer is a train with 1,001 cars. It continually circles the planet, and by keeping that movement going, it kind of creates its own ecosystem so that everybody on the train can survive, but you got to stay on the train. I call this one Murder on the Disoriented Express. The deal here is, it's really cool. And by the way, I should mention this is on TNT. So if you have basic cable, you get to see this. It's 10 parts, but you don't get to binge, Rokan. You have to watch it week after week. But what's really cool here is the 1,001 car train. There's a first class with all the millionaires and gazillionaires, a second class with the scientists and the doctors, et cetera, that keep the train going. Third class is all the working class people, the janitors, the servers in the restaurants, et cetera. And then at the very end, what they call the tailies, these are people who are being treated as slave labor. So you have the same sort of social injustice and talk of rebellion that you have in the real world, but it's all aboard this train. It's kind of bat bleep crazy, but kind of cool, really violent, and has two great performances. David Diggs, who was in that movie Blindspotting that I liked so much a couple of years ago, he's the leader of the rebels. And Jennifer Connelly, Academy Award winner Jennifer Connelly, she kind of runs Snowpiercer. So she's the Ice Queen villainess at the front of the train. He's the rebellious anti-hero at the back of the train. And then there's some murders that take place. And this guy used to be a cop in the real world. So they have to bring him to the front of the train to try to solve the murder. So there's a lot going on in this movie, in this series. And I really think it's really cool. It's a great, great looking show as well.
How many stars?
3 stars for Snowpiercer.
And you have to sit and wait for it every week?
Yeah, like people had to do back in the days when men were men and women were women, and there were 3 channels.
Right. I really have turned into that opening song from Archie Bunker.
Honey, rich man, right? Poor man's on again. Hurry up. You remember right? What it was like.
And you couldn't even record it back then. You just had to, if you missed it, you missed it. You're like, I got to be there.
Yeah, I can't believe we have to wait for another week of Roots. This is ridiculous. And what about the Winds of War? When is that coming back?
Okay, now, Catherine the Great is getting a new mount, if you will.
Oh, geez.
A Hulu series.
Yes, this one's called The Great. It's interesting you mentioned that because just last year we had Helen Mirren playing Catherine the Great on HBO. Now, the Hulu limited series The Great, it's written by the same guy who co-wrote The Favorite, which took another look at royals and completely turned it into this kind of fanciful, hipster, funny and clever movie. They try to do the same here with The Great, which is about the Empress of Russia in the latter part of the 18th century. And it's completely, you know, there's pop music and people talk in modern terms. In fact, Elle Fanning plays Catherine the Great, the Russian Empress. Elle Fanning is an American actress who puts on a British accent to play the Russian Empress. I don't know why. That's just the kind of thing it is. This is one of those series. I'm giving it 2 stars. It's great looking. Remember when Sofia Coppola did the Marie Antoinette movie that had the same kind of feel to it where, you know, Kirsten Dunst, it was very modernistic. This series is not nearly as clever as it thinks it is. That's the problem with this. It's 10 parts. It drags on. It becomes very tiresome. I lost interest about halfway through. I would not recommend people. And you can get all, I think, most of the episodes right off the bat. But, you know, maybe some people will be into it and think, wow, this is just so clever and cheeky. I just found it wearisome.
Yeah, it's funny. You sent me the trailer, of course, and I have to watch the trailers and I make all my decisions. I really almost didn't make it through the whole trailer because of exactly what you're saying. And it's not as pretty as you expect it to be. The one thing that always sells these kinds of costume series and period pieces is you've got these sort of really cool looking modern actors. The guy who plays the emperor of Russia prior to his demise is he's kind of a cool looking guy, but I think that Elle Fanning, you know, should be playing a role in a Soho loft, you know, as a disenfranchised girl. Yeah. She's not an empress.
I mean, I guess that was kind of the point. Get someone that looks almost like a stylized, you know, modern Disney princess with the rosy cheeks and the blonde hair and the blue eyes. And it's like, well, how? Why is that clever? And you mentioned Nicholas Hoult, who plays Peter. He's not Peter the Great. His father was Peter the Great. He's Peter the Mediocre, basically. He's way in over his head. But he's one of the ugliest characters I've seen in a movie in a long time. I mean, he's just, he abuses animals. He's horrific to the Empress, to Elle Fanning's character. He's just mean-spirited and petty and stupid. And you can make a character like that funny in some ways, but here he's just a foul character.
Okay, let me go back and let me recap here. Okay, for Scoob, should parents pay the $20 to rent or the $25 to own Scoob if they've got kids who have got nothing better to do?
You know, I'm giving it 2 stars, but I'm not saying it would be a complete waste of your money. I can't put myself in the shoes of parents who have been homeschooling, et cetera, for what, 8+ weeks now. So, you know, I'm not saying it's so terrible that you're going to get mad at me that you spent the money, but 2 stars.
All right. Capone.
Don't waste your time, your money, your effort, your interest, or your eyeballs on Capone, one of the worst movies of the year.
Snowpiercer.
Like Snowpiercer. It is violent. People should know that. Pretty rough stuff. But, you know, look, in terms of the cable world, not really that rough. And it's very cool and clever. 3 stars for Snowpiercer.
And then the Hulu limited series, The Great.
Yeah, the not so great, 2 stars.
Richard Roper, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Thank you, sir.
Sounds good.